always a pleasure to be here at Shiloh. Thank you so much for having Teen Challenge back. You guys are, this church is definitely a huge supporter for us in Sierra Vista. And I remember the first time that I spoke, I brought a ministry team here about 3 or 4 years ago. And it was the first time I got to preach in front. And our director, who did it the year before, said, "Oh yeah, you go into Shiloh. It's a pretty decent sized church. You're going to be nervous." And I was like, "Oh yeah." And I was nervous. Amen. So, man, to God be all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Amen. It wasn't always that way for me. It used to be Craig gets all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, and that didn't work out too well for me, amen. But it's working really well now by the grace of God. Today's message, if I were to give it a title, it would be called The Crossroads of Grace. Amen, The Crossroads of Grace. Life is full of many choices and decisions that can change your day or impact your life. For instance, just from the time you got up this morning, you had choices. Am I going to shower? Am I going to eat breakfast? What am I going to wear? Am I even going to go to church? It's only Teen Challenge that's going to be there today. Just kidding. But if you did ask that question, and if you're here, I pray abundant blessings over all of you. Amen. And if you did say that and you're not here, well, I still pray abundant blessings over the rest of the congregation. Amen. So in other words, there are choices, choices, and choices. There are choices that affect ourselves, choices that affect our families, our jobs, our careers, our friendships, and other relations. And how about the relationship between our personal Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the definition of choice as a noun is this: an act of selecting or making a decision when faced with two or more possibilities. Not only are we ourselves faced with choices to decide on, but we see others make them. When we grew up, we saw our parents. We saw how they made their decisions and choices, or our grandparents, or our siblings. Or other loved ones, such as husbands, wives, girlfriends, boyfriends. Then there are also teachers, bosses, counselors, doctors, judges, even pastors. And the list can go on and on. But now I want to discuss the term crossroads, as in a title, Crossroads of Grace. Crossroads is defined as an intersection of two or more roads, a point at which a crucial decision must be made that will have far-reaching consequences. So take this overview of life points as an example, and they're going to be listed in reverse order from present to past. Completing Bible college, buying a house, getting married, courting your future spouse, hired to ministry, volunteering in ministry, entering Teen Challenge, relapsing. Entering a treatment facility, relapsing. Getting fired from jobs, ending relationships, relapsing, relapsing, relapsing. Accepting Jesus as my Savior. Going to jail and prison. Addiction to drugs. Started to live in a party scene. Hanging around the wrong crowd. Joined a rock band. Playing electric violin, believe it or not. Getting divorced and being laid off. Getting married. Moving to Florida. Going to college. Graduated high school. Began singing and playing violin. And played baseball and soccer. Though there are many choices there and decisions through all of those life points, I'd like to ask you this today. At which point do you believe that I met my crossroad? I guess you can say that every point can have a crossroad. But for this message and for the purpose of these teaching points that will be made, I will state that my crossroad, the place of making that crucial decision, was when I entered Teen Challenge. Amen. Amen. In other words, for me, it was safe to say that I never paid much attention to my choices. I only did what I could understand at that time, and I never knew how to process My choices are just how the decisions that I would make would impact my present state and my future. Not to mention how it would even impact everyone else around me, right? Parents, loved ones, etc. Well, today's main text reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. I'll be using the New Living Translation. Now, we all know the story, and you've probably heard a lot of teachings on this story, being taught on Saul's conversion on that road to Damascus. However, while I was meditating on this topic, I got the topic, and I'm asked, okay, Lord, well, you know, this is great, crossroads of grace, but show me where to base the teaching on today. And this is what he brought to me, and I was thinking, okay, Lord, I know this passage. I've heard many teachings on it. But I never gave much thought of this journey that Saul was on as being a crossroad. I mean, I knew the story. I thought it was a situation. I actually thought more of it as being a situation of Jesus coming in and taking over in a situation. I thought maybe it's understandable that we ourselves can see when we're at a crossroad, but maybe it's harder to see when somebody else has met theirs. Amen? So Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your word that returns to us not void, Father God. We just pray for and ask for the Holy Spirit, Father God, to be here, Lord. Let these words today be your words, Father God, that we can plant seeds into each other, Father God, into this community, Father God. We allow your Holy Spirit to water them, Father God, so that everything may be fruitful and multiply in Jesus' name. Amen. So chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way that he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to his believers in Jerusalem," or to the believers in Jerusalem. "And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength." Thank you, God, for your living word. Amen. All right, so now humor me while I read another overview of Life Points. again in reverse order. Beheaded at the order of the Roman Empire, writing many letters in the books of the New Testament, getting arrested, getting shipwrecked, mentoring Timothy, making disciples, building churches, spreading the good news to the Gentiles and the Jews, regaining your sight, submitting to Jesus, becoming blind, encountering Jesus, persecuting and killing Christians, a student of Phariseeism, and a strict follower of the Torah. So now I ask you, what point did Saul reach his crucial crossroad? I think we can all agree that it was on that road to Damascus that day when he encountered Jesus. Amen? Agreed? All right. So here is Saul, a gifted and highly intelligent man who was taken away from his parents at an early age to study under the best rabbi and scholars or teachers at that time. His ancestors were Israelites. His citizenship was Roman. His religion was Judaism. And yet he was born and raised among Greek culture. So let me ask you all now, what is your story? Where are you from? What are your life points? Where was your crossroad? Did you just recently meet your crossroad, that crucial one? Or do you remember what it was like when you reached that crossroad? Or I guess if you haven't quite reached that crucial crossroad yet, maybe none of this teachings will make sense to you, and you might as well go home now. No, just kidding. No. God is faithful and just to take any teaching and plant it in ourselves that it can be watered and multiplied and that we can be used as his humble servants to teach someone else. Amen. But for me, there was something else that took place when I met that crossroad of Teen Challenge. For some reason, that crossroad was different than any other ones. And yes, I did cross many of them because in a life of addiction, that will do that to anybody. But something tells me that for many of you here today, it was the same for you as it was also for Saul in today's text. So what was different for all of us? Was it that something so powerful, so undeniable, so life-changing took place? I can tell you that it was just that for me, and we read how it was just like that for Saul. See, for me, it was the day that I entered Teen Challenge. I got everything put away. I got everything situated. I was walked to my room that I had to share with four guys on bunk beds, although my roommate was on pass that weekend and there was only two of us, so I immediately got a lower bunk, guys. Sorry about that. And after I got everything put away, I sat down on my bed and I broke down. I started crying. And I asked God, I'm like, God, what is going to be different this time? Because in my biography, you heard there's many, many rehabs, prison, jail, more rehabs. I just couldn't get it right. And at that very minute after I said that second, I felt the presence of God fill that room. Amen. Amen. And that still small voice inside of me said, son, I have been waiting for you. Are you finally ready to work for me? Hallelujah. Amen. And from that very day, he has still been showing me what is going to be different. Some days I don't like it. Some days I love it. Through all of it, I still try my best to give him praise and glory. Count all things joy. Amen. The difference in that very moment was that I felt the grace of God. The grace of God came over me. This one crucial crossroad in my life was met with grace, and it was met with God's grace. And in verse 5 of today's text is where I believe Saul's crossroad also met God's grace. And it reads, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And a voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." I often wonder what Jesus' voice sounded like, because we all know that Jesus was love. You know, God is love. We also know that Jesus could be stern. But I wonder if it was like, "Go, get up! What are you doing? Right? Why are you persecuting me?" I kind of think it was maybe, "Why? Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" That's how I like to think about it. So if you're wondering where grace is in that verse, I can tell you that it wasn't Jesus. If Saul was on a horse, that he didn't freak out his horse and throw him off and trample on him and kill him. Nor did he instantly create quicksand in a desert that they were walking on and watch Saul slowly sink to his death. No, neither one was like that. Neither one was like that at all. So we can see that when our crucial crossroad meets God's grace as it did with Saul, there is an order. There is an order of things that take place where God will get our attention and where his grace will lead us through. This is where we all get ready to write down our notes. Today we're going to embark on 4 points or areas that I hope will help each and every one of us for the next time that we are faced with making a crucial choice. So the first point, number one, is light. And verse 3 reads, as he was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. Have we all heard the saying that, can you shed some light on the subject? The light is showing that there is darkness. There's something is happening that we don't quite understand. So I ask you today, what is happening right now in your life that needs some light? Is there something in your marriage, your relationship, your career? Or is there something going on with your children? Church, we need the light to show us what we need to see. And the bigger and the brighter the light, the greater the situation at hand will probably be. I mean, a light so bright shone down from heaven that caused blindness to Saul's eyes. Now that leads me to point number 2, blindness. Have you ever asked yourself, why was Saul made blind? Hey, I know for myself that many times the way that I see things is the only way that I see things. Amen? But how many of you know that sometimes we need blindness from the world so that we can see the truth in the Word of God? Come on. Amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So what are the things in your life that you are seeing and are in need of becoming blind to? Is it drugs or alcohol? Hanging around the wrong crowd on Friday and Saturday nights, and now I know that there's something on Friday nights that your pastor just mentioned. So you shouldn't be hanging around the wrong crowd on Friday and Saturday nights. Are you struggling with anger, anxiety, fear, codependency? Is there a lifestyle of bad habits going on? Eating, smoking, TV shows, movies that you're watching, or music that you're listening to? Isn't it crazy that the things that we put aside one day, now don't judge me, it's the late night trips to the kitchen for my milk and my cookies. Amen? My wife will agree to that. Those are the things that I take back immediately. I try to put them away, but the next night at midnight, 1 o'clock, Craig, my Oreo cookies, America's favorite. So it was in his blindness that Saul needed his companions to lead him. So point number 3 is going to be companions. The scripture doesn't say that Jesus led Paul to the city. It reads that his companions took him by the hands and led him. I will say this, that Saul's companions experienced the same thing that Saul did, except for the blindness. So church, we need to make sure that we have companions with us that are on the same page, but are seeing things not the same way as we are. What a concept. We all need people in our lives that can help us remain accountable and responsible, to be with people who share the same vision and experience the same journey. So at Teen Challenge, it's really big that we teach our guys accountability. We teach it, we teach it, we teach it, and then we teach it some more. Right, guys? Amen? Amen. We understand what accountability is because we know that if we do not, you know, the reason why that most people will ever relapse in anything is because they've left accountability to slip. So, folks, we need companions. Last point, point number four, two letters, G-O, go. Simply go. Jesus told Saul, go to the city, and he would be told what to do. The Lord also gave instructions to Ananias and told him that Saul was his chosen instrument. Did Ananias want to go? No, in fact, he questioned God. He didn't want to go. So now I ask you all this, what metaphoric city is Jesus telling you to go to? In what areas of your life is God asking you to move and you are still questioning him? See, Saul would have possibly stayed blind if Ananias wouldn't have obeyed God. So church, if it's time to go, simply go. And that's what happened to me almost 6 years ago when I met my crossroad of grace. And I can tell you that today, I'm truly grateful that I was there. I have been blessed in that the scales have been removed from my eyes, praise God, and that I went when God told me to go. Amen. I know it's in my biography, but I'm truly blessed with a beautiful woman of God, my helpmate, a beautiful family, and yes, another granddaughter on her way soon. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I love you, baby. Not only that, I have many friends inside Teen Challenge, outside Teen Challenge. They are the people who are my companions today. They are the people that can help me remain accountable and responsible. But if it wasn't for Jesus Christ who intervened in my life that day when I hit that crucial crossroad, I can tell you that I honestly wouldn't even want to contemplate where I would be today. Definitely wouldn't be here by the grace of God. Amen. So to round it up, to bring it back together again, when we are standing at that crucial crossroad, number one, we have some light shed on the subject. Number two, we get blind to the things that we know and the things that we see. Number three, we have companions that can help keep us responsible and accountable. And number four, everybody, when God tells us to go, what do? Go! Amen, amen. Thank you very much for having us here today. At this time right now, that's the message for today. Nice, short, and brief. Thank you, Jesus.